All Eyes on Fishing with Mitch Peterson, Josh Sheldon, and Brad Qualley, leading you to the next level.
Hey everybody, welcome back to All Eyes on Fishing. Today we're going to be talking about wind.
Wind?
Yeah.
Not hot air, but wind.
Yeah.
Breaking wind?
Which we've already had that problem this morning.
I know. That's why we're delayed.
Walleye one is not big enough.
Walleye one needs a better ventilation
system. It does. So, what we're going to talk about is wind is always something that can really put a damper on the day, but it can also, if you're thinking about it when you're out there, you can also make it turn it into a positive. I mean, well, depends on unless
start
it's gale force.
You can fire the fish up.
It can. Yeah. So wind in a boat. I don't think we dive into all kinds of boat control with wind and stuff. That could be a whole nother topic, but just how to fish wind. What you're looking for.
Well, the
wind.
Positives and negatives, right? I mean, yeah. I think a lot of people look at the forecast and see it's going to be a breezy day. And what's too breezy? What's perfect? What's not enough? But a lot of people look at it and they split, right? They're like, eh, we're not going
out. Too windy.
It's too windy. It's not enough. And we all have been out there, especially, if, you know, in our neck of the woods, right? You go up and fish Wyoming. Wyoming starts with a W because of wind, not because it's Wyoming, right? It's always windy.
That is a windy place.
And but those fish are very dependent on wind as far as their activity and how they feed. And I mean, an entire day of fishing there can be absolutely awful. Till that magic hour of about 1:30 in the afternoon, and the wind starts to pick up every day at about 1:30 in Wyoming, and all of a sudden the fish just go
so down. Why does the wind turn the fish on?
Because, well, in up there, it starts to just move all the bait fish around. They just pulls them, draws them out of the cover, a lot of brush and weeds and stuff like that, draws them out of the cover, starts to move that warmer water away from it. You know, it gets warm out in those weeds and stuff. I mean, and we're talking, you know, you can be in a bay and it's a good sized bay, right? Like as big as some of the lakes we have in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got the weeds and the brush that have grown up and it's 20 feet deep, but you know, you can only fish a few inches below the water because all the stuff is so thick, right? But all that water warms above those plants and in that brush and all that stuff much faster. And boy, that stuff can push out with the wind or push in and make those fish that are in that brush rise up and start to just chase.
Yeah, because it's pushing those bait fish with them being so little, too, and they're up in the upper water column. Like you see the bait balls when you're out in a boat. You see bait balls. When the wind starts coming, you see those bait balls really start to congregate because it's pushing that wind from what it's doing to the surface. It's pushing those bait balls even tighter and tighter and tighter. And they don't have. Yes, and it pushes them in closer to shore. It just gets them in a concentrated area. Well, the fish know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They wait for it.
Yeah, instead of them being all spread out, sometimes that wind can really affect those bait fish to where you can start finding them.
So that was a perfect question because you guys hit on a couple of reasons for the wind, but you left out my reason for the wind.
What is that?
it's a light situation. So when it's glass calm, you know, the rays of the sun penetrate, you know, much deeper into the water, where as soon as you get that chop going,
that's why they call it a walleye chop.
The walleye chop. Yep. Well, it just changes the angle.
So right, exactly.
It goes in at all those different angles. And years ago, I read some article on it. And it was pretty interesting because it totally makes sense.
Well, what else happens to go with your visibility thing, right? And what else happens when it starts to blow on some places? What gets created?
Mud lines.
There you go. Mm-hmm. So if you have a walleye chop and a mud line starts to form, before you know it, that mud line forms on the edge, let's say.
They're sitting right there just ambushing.
Right, just waiting, especially if you have cover, right? Brush, weed, something.
Well, even if you don't, because it's the mud line.
Right,
that is
right. But I mean, you add something like that, it just triples the amount of, you know, draw to those fish. I mean, it can get nuts. I mean, that's one of those ones where every cast, it could be a 5-pounder or bigger kind of situation.
Well, I don't know about that.
On a good day.
On a super good day.
Yeah, no,
we're
going
to call that super good day.
Well, remember, we talked to Tizers on the Next Level, right? I mean, that's what happened to them. That's what happens. Those two are very good at figuring out when that's going to start happening because, I mean, they're living in Wyoming. I mean, they're used to it, right? But I have so many times fish tournaments with them where I know at some point throughout the day, because, you know, we'll be doing a different tactic. We'll be trolling up high or something, right? Where we're catching a lot more fish than they are, and decent fish, right? So, I mean, we'll have our 5x10 and, you know, just kind of rolling through, picking and choosing and stuff like that. And he'll have one. Both of them will have one, maybe two, if they're lucky, right? And then all of a sudden, man, afternoon, you got 2 hours to weigh in. The right conditions come together with the wind and the direction of the wind. And they will load up, all of them. They'll catch four or five fish, and every single one of them will be gigantic.
Yeah.
And they roll in and kick my ass by 10 pounds.
And they're looking, because they're looking for that wind. Exactly. Wind-blown shores or wind-blown points. It doesn't necessarily need to be a shore.
Or a cup.
Whatever.
A cup in the
I mean, how many times have we done that, Mitch, when we're out there fishing and there's a, you know that there's a point. We've checked it and there's no fish there.
Right.
Or they're very scattered. And then that wind starts blowing and we're like, we need to go check that point, because we had bait fish set up probably a, you know, four or five blocks out in the main basin area from that. But now that wind is going to push them and it pushes them right into that point. And now you go over to that point and you see that whatever is underneath the surface, that happens to be kind of a sandy mud and bottom. And it ends up creating that mud line or that muddy water. And now those bait fish are in there and it's a feeding ground.
Yep.
Those fish know that.
I've got a story for you too. See if you guys remember this, right? This is a great example. This is when I loved you guys and I hated you guys all on the same day. See if you remember this.
Oh, when we used to fish against you in tournaments.
Yes, yeah, right? So do you remember, we're down in Pueblo and it was, day one was great day, right? We all caught a lot of fish. We were all, both teams sitting pretty well. And the wind came up so hard that morning that we couldn't fish where we hadn't fished all the whole first day. Do you remember that? Came up so hard. And this is when I decided I'm buying a new Minn Kota for the front. Because remember, I had that motor guide. It was more like a bass boat style cable steer. It was only a 12-volt system. You know, and it worked great.
It was a while ago. I can't think of this.
Yeah. So you guys were, you had already put a new Minn Kota on the front of yours, I think that year, actually. Mm-hmm. And I was talking about it, and it was expensive, and I couldn't afford it. And, you guys, the wind came up, and it was coming, I think, directly out of the west. Or east. It was east or west. It wasn't like a north-south one. It was east or west. And it was blown across all those points on the north side of the lake.
Oh, yeah.
And you guys...
I do remember this now.
Yes, and you guys slid in behind. You started going on the downwind side of the points, so you were kind of sheltered. But you had the motor that could do it. I couldn't do that. It kept blowing me out of there, right? Like, I didn't have enough shaft length. No jokes. And then, and I couldn't, you know, I didn't have enough voltage, right? So, you guys fished in the cup on the backside of those
points. Banana.
Yep. And you guys hammered them and you ended up doing really well. I think you were like top five or something. But when a lot of boats, including my own, more or less got blown off the lake. I mean, we ended up going into some protected cove that sucked.
It didn't have any fish in it.
I mean, we just fished because it had water basically, but that was the only place we could do it. But I remember coming off the water and you guys had this great box full of keeper fish. And I'm like, where did you clowns go? I mean, cause we almost had identical type boats but the big key was you had the better motor. So that's another point to take into mind when we're talking about fish and wind. But you guys had fished the cup banana side, found those fish stacked up. Basically, they were coming around that point because that wind created current. The current was coming across.
Now, I remember that now. The bait fish is loaded up in there.
And you guys were just going, you know, just jigging in that cup. And then when that point quit, you slid to the next one and you could do it. And I couldn't. And you guys hammered. And so I just remember thinking, that's genius and screw off. Because I was like, you guys suck.
Yeah, the winds definitely can be your friend and your enemy all at the same time.
Yep. And that was a great example. And that, I mean, that was a, because, you know, I mean, I hadn't fished from a boat a lot at that point. You know, and this is what, 21 years ago or something. I'd always fished from a float tube at that point because I was, you know, young and poor. And so, you know, trying to do boat control and knowing all the factors of how much power I needed, I didn't have any clue, right? You know, electric motor was an electric motor, whether it be one battery or four, I had no clue. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it was obviously, I learned a huge lesson that day, you know, about current, you know, and how wind can create a current even in a reservoir system where there is no river or anything.
It's a different type of current, but yes.
Yeah, and it's more of a surface type current, but it was, you know, especially on those shale shelf type points, you know, that water can wash and swirl up in those shales and push those bait fish up against that shell drop.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You guys were just casting right up in there. You said, I mean, you said it was one after another, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's a very interesting piece to where you can fish on that upwind side or try, right?
So in a boat, what would you say is a good wind? I like that 8 to 11 mile an hour wind. It's pretty damn
good. And that's not, I mean, that's pretty easy. I mean, I think even all the way up to 15 or 16, right? Especially if you know, another great point is these fish will, that suspended trolling crankbait bite with boards can just ignite and be fire when that wind kicks up in the afternoon. So that's another thing to remember is,
no, but I'm talking about when you're getting that walleye chop.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, so
like that 11
up to 15 to 18 can be good if you're going to go troll board.
So totally,
you
know, the different type of fishing. But I think where you're going with it, Brad, is, you know, we've kind of decided, and here's the difference: our aluminum boats, you know, we're right at about 12.
Yeah,
is when the wind starts to
affect it a little bit.
Yeah, where now you're focusing just as much on boat control and in the wind as you are fishing. Where, how interesting, you know, Junior's first thing is 15, 16.
Yeah, 15, 16 is pushing us in an aluminum boat, even with 24-volt system, to be able to really lock it down. Right. I mean, but just like you said, then there's other tactics that you can do. If those fish have moved up, they're fishing a slip line, and we can't hold boat control because boat control is so important, that maybe we will turn onto something different. Instead of casting, trying to sit on a point, we'll troll a point, go back and forth, or we can control it.
Right. Or we'll throw a couple anchors and just lock down. And it's cumbersome to have to pull anchors to move.
Yeah.
It's how you can control the boat.
Whereas, like we have learned, that with the fiberglass boat, with the Ranger or the other fiberglass boats that are heavier, they do much better in the wind, and they're able to hold much easier in the wind. Right. And they're, even when you troll, they're easier to track in the wind, right? Like they track.
You don't slip. You don't have back end slippage as much and all that.
Well, and it doesn't catch that front and swing you around. I mean, there's a lot of times when in that aluminum boat where that wind would just catch the bow and it would spin you in a blink if you were going the wrong direction. And where in the fiberglass, even if it does catch it and start to push, you can get it straightened out pretty quickly. And so that's a big bonus, right? But, you know, that wind coming across, what is your, so if you had to pick, and I don't even mean a general direction, right? Because like we always used to have this saying when I was growing up, if the wind's from the east, fish are the least. If it's from the west, it's the best.
That's not true.
I don't think so, but
I think so.
Well, do you?
Because he's an idiot.
Yeah, that's what they say, so it must be
right?
True.
Yeah, no. Well, that was one of those back east mottos, right? That's one of the ones that the old guys brought from Michigan and Minnesota and stuff. But so my thought is
what about the guys in Lake Michigan? They don't like it when the wind blows out of the north.
Well, because the cold water.
I know, but I'm just saying. Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah, but anyway, so if you had your choice, and the wind is coming from whatever direction, are you going to go fish the shoreline that's getting bashed by the wind, or are you going to go on the other shoreline so it's a little bit easier to manage? You don't have to deal with the waves and the wind, just the wind.
Well, the shoreline that's getting bashed, if it's not too much that we can't control the boat.
Yeah.
Because that's where the active fish are going to be.
Have you seen that much of a difference? Mm. Or is that just what, you know, common knowledge would kind of dictate?
Well, just exactly what you talked about with wind blowing side in, or wind blowing in and crossing up those mud lines and stuff. Sure. It's not going to happen on the other side.
Sure.
The only thing is if you're in the one thing that I know that we pay attention to is where that river channel is in a lake, because they have them, right? So if the wind's opposite that and there's still a current coming through from that river channel, then you're going to have fish that are out of that current that'll push up into that slack water. But we're predominantly going to start searching that wind blowing side because we've had so much success. You can still get resident fish that are going to hold over in those other areas, right? And just fish them how you would fish them if it was a glass calm day, right? And so that doesn't mean that you have to go fish those wind blowing sides at all. If you have a place that holds fish, it holds fish no matter what,
right?
Yeah. Well, it's not like the fish on the north side, if the wind's out of the north, the fish on the north side of the lake are like, oh, we got to quick get down to the south end,
right?
Because that's where our best hunting conditions
may turn on.
Right. But now I would say what would weigh my decision on where I'm going to fish even more, if it's like 3-4 days of that north wind.
There you go.
Pretty consistent. Now, yeah, I'm not even going to think about the north side. Right. I'm going to go fight the waves on the south side of the lake.
Yeah. Well, and I always think back to McConaughey, right? Like McConaughey in Nebraska. That is a prime example of how that wind, that lake is a wind.
When it's out of the west, lake. It can be nuts.
I mean, it can be crazy because that wind gets to roll in those waves the entire length of the
20
lake.
20-some miles.
Mm-hmm. And you can have monsters on the east side, which makes going on the east side just pointless.
I think there comes a point, too. In a lake like that, I mean, it's so lake-dependent because that thing is like a big egg, big oval, right? And if it's blowing out of the west, that east side, yes, the fish that are over there are going to, there's going to be a lot of bait fish that push that way. They can't help it because of the amount of activity of just the waves pushing them. Mm-hmm. But there comes a point too, that it's almost dangerous at times. If that's a sustained 15, 20 mile an hour wind, that you can't fish 4 or 5 footers casting all day long. I mean, you can go fish them for a while and figure it out, but it's almost becomes,
we're going to destroy your battery too.
Well, but it also becomes that your boat control, you lose it so much. I don't care what boat you have at that point to be able to sit on a place. You're going to be fighting your boat more than you would be able to actively fish consistent and good.
Right. And you're not going to be able to totally get on that structure like you want either. I mean,
nobody could.
The fish may be more active and biting, but if you can't control your boat, you're ineffective fishing.
Yes.
Where you're probably better off where you can control the boat, even if the fish are less active.
Yes.
Right. And that's where something like a power pole would help.
Maybe. You
know. But I mean, if you had them, that would be another option, right? I have never used them on my own boat, so I can't tell you, but maybe that might
be. I mean, how deep do those things go?
They have them out to 15 now.
Really?
Wow.
So, I mean, if you're in 8-10 feet of water.
That would be pretty cool.
When I was in that tournament last 2 weeks ago, there was, out of the 2 days, 253 boats. And I would say there was probably 15, 20 of them that had the big power poles on the back. Yeah. They weren't bass boats. They were walleye boats.
Yeah. But these guys were out deep. They weren't using them.
No, they didn't use them at all.
Well, a lot of
but they had them on there. And I noticed it because you don't see a lot. They do a lot of trolling.
Yeah, and they use those paddles.
But it was interesting to see. And they're great big, these power poles. And I was like, geez. But I was like, that would be kind of nice, especially the fishing that we do here on those windblown sides, even when it gets that 15, 16 miles an hour.
Wouldn't that be cool? Just lock those babies down.
Because we'll fish it down with an anchor. So we're getting kind of short on time, but I want to address some fishing from shore because me and Mitch are going tonight. You want to go? We're going to go casting from shore. We're not going to
go cast. I might do that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the wind's not going to be too bad tonight, but fishing from shore can be a pain in the ass, right? When you're trying to cast a stick bait into a 15, 20 mile an hour wind.
No chance.
Right.
No.
But the thing that's so cool about fishing from shore is you dictate where you're going and then you can create your own presentation from where you're at on land because you don't have the boat control to worry about.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's why we wanted it. Well, this time of year, we like to go from shore quite a bit anyway, but being able to go out there when we go tonight, we'll check out, hey, where's the wind blowing out of?
Right.
And then we'll probably choose our points to what we're going to go walk out to go fish, something that's going to be where the wind's predominantly been blowing into because it's stirred up some of that warmer water. It's stirred up some of those bait fish, the leftovers, and some, you know what I mean, just pushing in there. And we'll start casting them. Now, the problem is if it's a stiff wind, how do you fish a stiff wind? There's no slip bobbers. You're not doing that.
No.
Not unless you're opposite lakeside now, right? Then you can fish them. But then you're catching resident fish. They're not chasing the balls of bait fish as much. There's still going to be some that are there. So, but what do you do from shore if you got typical wind, anything under 12, 15 when you're casting from shore is no big deal. What do you do if it starts picking up? Mitch, how would you fish that?
Well, like tonight's a little different because we're totally stick bait time, right?
Yes.
But here a little bit later when the live bait turns on, my favorite way to do it is basically like a Lindy rig. You know, it's a slip sinker.
But a heavier slip
sinker. Oh, yeah. A big egg weight, heavy, so you can just get it wherever you want it. But then essentially you're sitting there fishing with your bail open, with your hand on the line. It's going to hold the bait right where you want it. You know, you can drag it in and cover all that water even. You can cast it way out to the deeper water, and you can slowly, intermittently work it in, let it sit and weigh it. But you can fish. It doesn't matter how windy it is.
It doesn't matter.
You can cast because of that big weight, and it's not going anywhere.
That's right.
Yeah,
that is a great way to do it. I don't care. We've been out there in 30 mile an hour right in your face, and it's more mid here anywhere. It's more mid-May, probably later May, that when that water temperature is in that low 60s. So that's going to be awesome to do. If it's a windy night, those babies are going to be feeding. And that's a great way to cast out their big egg sinker, ounce, 2 ounce, whatever it takes to hold it, right?
Yeah.
What are you looking for shoreline? What's your favorite? For what, I mean...
Well, if you're going to fish that, you know, of course you can't fish a dam. No.
But I mean, if you're, you know... If
the wind, it's tough if the to fish coming, that in the rocks.
If the wind's coming in, what are you looking for? I know what I'm looking for. I'll let you go first on time.
Well, I like riprap or any kind of rocky shoreline at first.
Of course.
And I want that steep. I want some sort of steep and then out to gradual, right? Like I want it to come into a what's going to be fairly deep, right? Like, so if you stepped off, you would be like, you know,
all of a sudden
knee waist deep, something like that, right? Or chest deep. I mean, it's a quick drop. That allows those fish to, especially if you're doing a stick bait or crankbait, allows them to follow that thing right in there, right? They'll follow it right up to the edge of the shore. But then that wind also hits that, and it's like a flat surface, right? It starts to make that kind of curl action where the water curls back on itself, and all that food and crayfish and zooplankton and everything starts to hit that wall and push back. So it'll not only does it create the smorgasbord right next to the shore, but it also flushes it back out.
Yeah, no, right? I think we're talking about the same type of area.
Yeah.
I mean, we would definitely there's nothing to say, though, that we fish some pretty shallow stuff, shallow flats. Out there, probably lighter wind. I mean, I don't remember us ever going over there when it's been super windy, but where you can wade out 20 yards from shore and you're only at your knees.
Yeah,
you know, but you are just working that any of those fish that are just cruising looking for a meal that can't get away. It can't go up or down because it's only 4 foot or 3 foot deep or whatever.
You know what but I mean? If you're wading out and you're wading way out and you're only in your knees or mid thigh, right? But you're still going out to where you're
sometimes
trying to access that deep water.
I'll cast back and just work that flat too because those
behind
fish
you.
Cruise, yes.
I've done it out of Chattio
all the time.
Walked out there in the shallows.
You know exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah. And caught fish doing that. It's that area. But I would think that if I'm looking for a spot just to go out, I'm going to just exactly what you said. You're going to look for something that creates that bottom momentum of stirring stuff up. Right. In good wind.
Right. Yeah. In the right wind. If it's too much and the waves are crashing in, it's tough. But remember, even those light stick baits, man, even if you've got those waves crashing in, those bad boys are in the water. You'd be just shocked at how many walleyes you can get in that rough water.
The hard part in a stick bait, and then we'll wrap it up after this, that I found anyways, when you're casting a stick bait into a stiff wind, yeah, I mean, of course, you're limited in how far it'll catch just because the wind catches it. But you can still get it out there. It's hard to do a jerk and pause because when you do the jerk and pause, the waves are still creating slack with your line outs pushing it. You get out of control. So in that wind, it's more of a steady retrieve with some jerk, steady retrieve. So you're always keeping constant connectivity with your line. You know what I mean? Right. It doesn't get that huge slack.
Right. Yeah, and your pauses when you're fishing into the wind, you're facing the wind, it's hard to feel anything on your pauses, and that's a lot of times when they'll hit it.
Although when it is on a pause and that windy, wavy, and
I'm talking good wind where it's hard to cast.
Yeah. But if they wreck it, if you got some waves and they wreck it, I mean, there's not a lot of things better than that.
It's fun.
I mean, it is instantaneous fish on, face full of treble hooks, and let's roll.
Man, I tell you, what a subject. There's way more to talk about. I mean, we didn't even really talk about all the different boat control tricks in wind and stuff. So we need to come back to this.
Yeah, or even cast, because there's so much more you can do from shore. But anyway, that's where we're at today with fish and wind. Just give you some ideas getting out on the water because now's the time. I mean, I would say a large majority of all the lakes are opened up to fishing now. And get out there, even if you don't have a boat. And if you do, be cognizant of where you're going with that boat if it starts getting windy. And if it's shore, just because it's blowing, don't give up on it because there's things that you can do to make yourself successful.
Exactly.
Hey, if you guys have any questions, and this came from a listener at our alleyesonfishing@gmail.com, wanted to talk about wind. And we touched on it some, but if you guys have any suggestions or you want us to talk about something certain on a podcast, make sure you're sending your emails there and make sure you're following us on alleyesonfishing.com. Thanks, guys.
This has been All Eyes on Fishing. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, go ahead and subscribe to The Next Level. You can hear longer podcasts and more information on all of your favorite topics. And check us out at alleyesonfishing.com for apparel, blogs, and other information. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. All Eyes on Fishing, leading you to the next level.